If Tim didn't get you wound up with those songs, I don't know what would. I can't thank him enough. Hopefully I can carry on and at least keep a good topic to keep you happy. Bear with me. For those of you who are visiting, you're our honored guests. We can't thank you enough for taking time to come be with us and study and worship our Lord. As you'll figure out, I'm not the normal speaker here. I'm lucky enough that the elders have let me fill in while there's a gap, and I truly appreciate that. But it is good to see all your smiling faces. It's good to see Don and Marcel. It was good to see them here this morning. It's such a pleasure to have you back. We've missed you. For a few minutes this morning, and I will try to keep it brief, but as Jill says, sometimes I don't know how to do that. So please bear with me. I want to take a few minutes this morning and talk about shaping of the inner person. That is crucial to each and every one of us as Christians. And I'd like to thank Brother Shaden for the scripture reading he read for us this morning, because that's where our lesson's going to be taken from this morning. Good. I figured out how to work it. We didn't have this little tool last time I spoke, so it's a little new for me. But if you look at this scripture, it talks just about the outer man, the inner man, how the outside decays, and hopefully the inside grows and gets better. That inner body is what we need to look at as Christians on a day-to-day basis. And I would like to go on and talk about their inside versus our outside. I read an article about 2 weeks ago, or should I say Jill shared an article with me, and I found it very interesting. And it was just about this topic. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I read an article and I think, I need this. There's times in my life things hit me and I need this topic. So I hope you enjoy it as much as what I'm bringing to you, as I believe it helped me through the last couple of weeks as I've put this lesson together. The conflict between inner self and outer self is something we struggle with every day. We live in this world, but we can't live of the world. And we're tested, we're tempted, we're tried every day. At least I feel that I am, and I'm sure all of you are. And it's something we need to make sure that we handle well. Staying focused sometimes is very difficult. With all the things around us, with all the distractions, everything that we had. I remember back to a simpler time, as a lot of you did. When I was growing up, I remember I was probably close to junior high before we got that one little thing guest that came in the house that sat in the corner. It became a huge distraction because it brought things into the home we otherwise wouldn't have allowed. And today it's not just in the home, it's the iPads, it's the cell phones, it's everything we have around us that seems to destroy or help try to destroy our focus. But when television came about, we all thought it was a wonderful thing. And then it was color. And then it added more. But the distraction it brought sometimes is scary for what it does. We must have self-control through a stronger inner focus. We must focus on what is important, the goals that we need to meet, the things we need to look at as Christians in this life. And our attitude and actions can control our environment, not only ours, but those around us. I will tell you a story that I had with a doctor years ago. There was an orthopedic surgeon I worked with, and he was a very good surgeon, a good man, a smart man. And one day we were talking about different things, and he says, "Why is it that the people here are always so happy in the hospital when I come in?" And I said, "It's because the leaders help set the tone." "Oh, no, no, nobody can affect somebody else's attitude. That wouldn't work." And we went back and forth for a little bit. I said, "You're coming Tuesday to do surgery, correct?" And he said, "Well, yes." I said, "I'll come see you in the doctor's lounge in OR as soon as I get there. Or as soon as you come in." I said, "Well, I think I told him." Well, I went by that morning and went through the hospital and I walked up to different people. And I went to the first one and said, "You know, you're supposed to have this done 2 weeks ago. Where is it? I need it." And I went through for things that needed to be done. I wasn't nasty, but I was point to the point. I was blunt. And I told him, I need it now. Well, I went to the OR about 15 minutes later and I walked in. He says, "What is going on? Everybody's so sour this morning. Why is their attitude so bad?" And I explained to him what had happened. He says, "Oh, no, I still can't believe you going around doing that could create that problem. So after we met, I went back out and I said, I'll see you at lunch. And I went back around and I walked up to the different people and said, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come off so strong. I really need your help. How we approach people and the way we do things makes a difference in the attitude not only we have, but they have. And it was quite interesting because he came out for lunch, walked through the hospital, went to the cafeteria, and I met him there. And he walked back in, he said, what changed? Everybody's happy again. Well, my point to you is we have that effect on people. People will listen to what we say, how we say it, and the way we do it. I gave the same doctor another example. His surgeries had dropped off, and I said, what's happened? He says, Ed, I don't know. I'm doing the same thing I did. I said, what are you saying to them? He said, well, I can do your surgeries at this hospital on one day, or I can do them at this hospital the next day. Well, I happen to be the second hospital. I looked at him. I said, can you do me a favor? And he says, what? I said, switch them. He said, that won't make a difference. I said, try it. In about a month, the administrator at the other hospital was calling him in because my numbers had grown and his had dropped. We listen to what people say. We listen to how they put it, and more before than it is now. But if our doctor said it was X, we didn't question if it was Y or Z. Now it's a little different, but when you're a leader, when you're a parent, people listen to you. They pay attention to everything you say. We must maintain a separation between the world that we live in and our inner person. We must guard that inner person. We must protect it. We must do the things to grow it and not let the outer world do that for us. The inside and outside may be going in different directions. Matter of fact, I would tell you, that 90% of the time, hopefully, our inner person is going a different way than our outer person. Because all the things we're surrounded by in this world that we have to deal with and that's around us, and I don't mean our outer person is ourself and our actions, but what's happening around us. We have to guard carefully. We have to stay on top of it. In Paul's words, the outside is decaying or wasting away, as we're told. And the older I get, the more I realize it. I turned 60 this week, and I feel every ache and pain I never thought I would understand. And at 50, it started. My dad told me years ago, he said, son, when you turn 50, life's going to change. I said, oh, yeah, no. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And the ones of you that have been there, it was 50 years and about a month, all of a sudden an ache here and a pain there and something else. This body is decaying. It will die. It will go away. But the inner body, as Paul told us, hopefully will grow stronger. It will be eternal. And in verse 17, he talks about light afflictions. This means persecutions. As Christians, we will be persecuted. We live in a world where we're tempted, we're tried, we're tested every day of our life. And we can choose to roll over or we can choose to be strong. We can choose to associate with people that will help lift us up or with people that will tear us down. That's our choice. It's our choice what we do, how we do it, and when we do it. As I tell my kids when they're growing up, there's three things that no one else can take from you. You have to give away. The first one's your word. And once it's lost, it's gone. I shouldn't say it's gone, but it's hard to recover. It takes time. The second's your principles. And we have to work hard to go past those. The third is your soul. And that's the most important. That's what we guard. The first two helps with that. And it's important that we remember to guard and protect ourselves. The inner man, our spirit, our hope, the outlook, the soul remaining fresh, invigorated, and actually, if we're living the right life, if we're feeding our soul correctly, it gets better every day because we're helping ourselves to be more Christ-like. The more I live, the more I learn. And I will tell you, I've learned a lot since I've been here. I've learned stuff everywhere I've been. But things I had taken for granted my whole life, this is the way it was. We started studying, and I think all of us have learned. Wait a minute. The scripture I thought always meant this. I missed something. That's what learning's all about. Every day gaining new insight. In chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, it reveals an amazing difference between the inside and the outside of a man. It says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body and dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for the sake of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence." Again, our outside body. How many people do you know that are so vain? They worry about the outside body more than anything else. A little Botox, a little plastic surgery, a little less. I'm not saying it's bad. There's reasons for it. But if it's for a vanity purpose, the body's going to die. It's going to get old. I've got a lot of wrinkles, and I'm proud of every one of them. And I have kids that have helped make a lot of them. And I've deserved some of them myself because of things I've done. Jill's hit me over the head with a frying pan. No, just kidding. But my point to you is, those lines, we've earned every one of them. I don't know about you, but I'm proud of them. And we must persevere and work every day to do that. Although our outer body is decaying, we can still persevere if we trust in the Lord. With that perseverance, we have hope. And hope eternal is, I think, what we're all looking for. We must remember, we cannot control the outside very much. Just as Paul with his affliction. I don't know about y'all this morning, but when I came in, it was dreary, it was cloudy, it was nasty. But it wasn't in here. I saw smiles, I saw happy people. It's how we create the atmosphere around us that makes a difference. Every day we're alive. Somebody asked me how I was doing. I said, I'm above ground and taking nourishment. It's a great day. And my pain's not so bad. And that's how we should look at it. But Paul, in 2 Corinthians, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more, gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" No matter what's thrown at me, no matter what we're tested with, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no trial that will face us that is not common to man, that there's not a way of escape. Every test we have will make us stronger. Every persecution we have, if we learn from it, will make us stronger. We all make mistakes every day. The key to success is learning from that mistake so we don't do it again. That makes us stronger. That makes us better. That makes us closer to where we need to be with God. And my point to you is, we need to focus on these things. We need to look at it. As with Paul, we may not be able to control the outer man from weather, sickness, disease, and accidents. But we must live with trials every day. And it's up to us how we deal with them, how we overcome them, and what we do to become stronger Christians. No matter how hard we try to control our surroundings, they're tough. Think of it this way. It's just November and we've had 2 to 3 snows already. Tell me that's not tough. especially as you get older and have arthritis. It's hard on you. But we persevere. We do not live in a bubble. We live in the world. We hurt ourselves and sometimes just have pains as we age. Even though we take care of ourselves, we must remember the body will fail. It's the inner man is what's important. What happens on the outside should not be an indication of the inside. Although cold, wet, and miserable, sickly, does not mean the inner spirit, attitude, and outlook must be the same. You choose to be happy or you choose to be miserable. For me, miserable is not a choice because it's not a part of life. It's not a good life, let's put it that way. We've all known people that frown and are upset and sad about everything that's around them, even though it may be good. Let's look at it this way. How many of you would you like to go live in Ethiopia? How many of you would you like to go live in Iraq with all the war and everything that's going on? Not me. We're blessed. We live in a country with freedom. And we live in a country to where we can gather as we are and not be persecuted. To uplift, strengthen one another, and worship our Lord. All those are important. Just as Jesus was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4, even after 40 days of fasting in the desert, Christ still had the correct inner man. What greater example? I don't know about you, but if you took food away from me for 40 days and all I had was water, I'd be in trouble. I didn't get this way from not eating. We all love food. It weakens us. But the inner man didn't weaken. It was the outer man that weakened, and he persevered. And in Acts 16, verses 23 and 25, it says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were singing, praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." How many of us could do that? How many of us could take the beatings that they took? Probably couldn't even sit down, couldn't hardly move without being in agony. And they fed their inner man. They fed that inner soul. They prayed, they worshiped, they sing songs. And others heard it, others listened, and others were strengthened. So my question to you is, do we fail or do we stand up and be strong? That's what we need to look at. Even though we cannot control the outside, we can control the inside. As we control our homes when weather is nasty outside, so we should control our attitude no matter what life throws at us. I don't know about y'all, but last winter our heater went out just as the cold weather hit. That's miserable. But you learn to live with it. Jill and I, when we were first married, lived in college housing. It was cinder block walls, space heaters along the bottom, and it got down to 15 below with a wind chill factor. Pajamas, coats, sweatpants, heaters all the way up, all the covers we could find, and we still froze. But guess what? We survived it. We were stronger because of it. And that's what we need to remember. If you're grumpy, if you have a sour attitude, that's your fault. That's on you. We choose to be that way. We don't have to be. We need to smile. We need to be happy. We need to have an attitude that others want to be around. As Kevin talked about in class this morning, we need to have a life that people go, "They're a Christian. I can tell by watching them. They're happy. They live a good life. They don't let anything get them down." We can't, because we have what's best for us. Remember that pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. I will tell you, in the Marine Corps, when I went through boot camp, they had a saying, "Pain is just weakness leaving the body." And if you learn that, you can learn to deal with it a whole lot better. You can learn to control the pain that you deal with. And I've done it many times. I've got arthritis bad in my right shoulder, but I'm not giving up. I'm not going to lose. I'm going to win one way or another. Also, I am responsible for the shaping of my inner person. Happiness is the religion of choice. Are you want to be happy or you don't? To me, I am excited about being a Christian. I remember John, the first time I heard him talk about giving at the Lord's table. We should be hilariously happy that we get to give back to God. But it's not just money. It's ourselves. It should be our focus. But in this world, everybody wants to blame somebody else. It's not my fault. It's not my reason for being. And how about, have you all heard about the lawsuit not long ago? The man suing McDonald's because he ate a Happy Meal and he was still miserable. I don't care what we do, what somebody gives you. If you're miserable, you're still going to be miserable. I've told people that I've met people I could give a solid bar of gold to and they'd still be miserable because they didn't get two. My point to you is this. We choose what we're going to do. Most people are looking for someone else to make them happy and solve their problems. Guess what? It's up to us to make it happen. And it's up to us to put the things in place. We work around toxic people. I don't know about you, but I can name two or three people I work around that are toxic. They're always miserable. Everything's always bad. It's falling apart. Our choice, if we let them control our thermostat, is we become miserable and toxic also. But I'm a firm believer that if you go in and you have a great attitude, you can help overturn that in the people you're around and make life better. People are convincing themselves that their attitude is not their fault. I'm here to tell you, it is your fault if you have a bad attitude. You choose every day when you get up what we look at, how we look at it, and how we perceive. There's always good. We sometimes have to hunt for it, but there's always good. You know, no matter how bad it gets, I have my wife, I have my kids, I have 9 grandchildren that make me happy. No matter how sad I get. When we allow ourselves to have a sour attitude, we're denying what Paul is saying in the passage of this lesson is based upon. We let something else control us. We have it so much better, as I said, than the first century Christians. Other places in the world. People other places in the world would love to be on welfare in this country. No matter how little it is, it's much more than they have. We can't hide from it. We can't crawl in a bed and pull the covers over our head and say, I'll wake up tomorrow and it'll be gone. No, we still have to deal with it. If we tolerate or promote a negative attitude in life, at home, at church, then as Paul said, we got to get over it. It's time to get a positive look on life. We must look past the circumstances and always look to the positive. You know, Kevin talked about Abraham and the Lord's Supper. And it was such a great point to make. How many of us could have the thought of taking our oldest child out and taking their life? But Abraham persevered. He was glad. The one story I heard a long time ago, and it's something that stuck with me, and I think it may be just a story, but a guy came home from work every day, and the neighbor watched him, and as he went in the house, he reached up and touched the leaf on a tree and just stood there. Some of you may have heard this story. For about 2 or 3 minutes, and then went in the house. The next day he came home and he kept watching it. Every day he did it. And finally the neighbor had enough. He had to find out what was so special about this tree. And he asked him what was going on. And he said, well, you know, the cares and the trials of work and the world I'm living in and all the problems I got to deal with, I don't want to bring it home to my family. So he said, I stop every day. I put all my cares and worries on something else as I'm praying to God, thanking him for what I have and helping me to be strong. We all have to have a way to relieve those troubles. Unlike Tim in his lesson last week, running is no longer able in my body. I'm happy he's young and can do it. My body can't do that anymore. But I walk about 5 miles every morning, and I go out every night, and Joel looks at me and goes, "You went this morning." And I do the same thing at night for a couple of hours, or a couple miles. That's how I get rid of the world. That's how I get rid of everything. I pray. I do things that are important to make it stronger. All of us have to have a way to make it work. So needless to say, it's all about figuring out how we take care of it. Hope to good attitude. In Romans 8, 24 and 25, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what one sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for perseverance. It's the things we don't see that we hope for. It's heaven. I can't lay my hand on it, but I know it's there. I know that Christ persevered a lot in this earth, was positive, and did the right thing for me, for you, for everyone else. So we need to remember, we have to have hope. We have to have strength. God blesses us every day through our association with Him. These blessings enrich our lives and is noticed by those around us on how we handle them and what we do. We must also remember that we are in the driver's seat. We pick our attitude, our spirit, and our optimism. We choose. Unlike the clothes we wear because of the weather, we may not like what we have to wear. It may be too heavy. It may not be what we want. But we have to wear them because of our surroundings. We choose how we clothe our inner person and how we handle it. Life is full of disappointments and trials. We are what we choose to be. Worry is a sin, but concern is something that all of us should have. What's the difference? Worry is all-consuming. I think about something so much that it takes my life over to the point that I can't function. But concern is having concern for something that I can hopefully fix, I can work with, but not letting it consume me. And that's what we need to remember. Renewing ourselves. We need to renew ourselves every day. Finally, Paul tells us to renew ourselves day by day. Just like renewing our driver's license or our clothes and other things, it makes us feel better. If we renew our inner person, we refresh ourselves. To do this, we must pray, we must worship every day, and surround ourselves with godly people as often as possible to lift each other up. I hope I'm an example to you because you are to me. You make my day better every time I get to see you. And that's what life's all about. When the world is not nice and we are tempted, we will remain happy inside because we have wrapped ourselves up in the blanket of joy that God gives us. And hope of God, which will allow us to overcome all trials, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Renewing ourselves is not automatic. You can't push a button and it happens. It's not like the easy button at the, I can't remember the name of the store, but the place you buy supplies for office. But we have to work at it. We have to do it. This refreshing will make us better, it'll make us stronger, and help us move forward. If we decide we're going to live a joyful and thankful life, we will fill our hearts with God's Word and the things He provides us. In conclusion, sorry, I got a little long-winded. Bear with me. I apologize. I'm at 30 minutes. Is there a reason for not renewing ourselves daily? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Things are tough. We have aches and illnesses as we grow older that we must deal with. It is not even winter, as I said earlier, and think of what we're dealing with. But look at the bright side. Spring's around the corner. Look at what's coming. Day by day includes today. Will you renew your inner man? It will not only affect you, but everyone around you. It's your choice. The thing I'll leave you with is a picture. Which person will you be? Choose wisely. Because if you don't, you'll be sad. You'll make everyone around you sad. You'll make your life miserable. And you'll have that effect on people who won't want to be around you. God always forgives. God's always there. It's up to us to fill and treat our inner man to where we're stronger, we're better. We show the world what being a Christian's all about. My question to you this morning, where's your inner man? Is there anything we can help you do? We can pray for you. If you've not obeyed the gospel and started the journey of strengthening that inner man, there's no day like today. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as Brother Tim leads us in a song.